Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network. And this is Money and Change with Stu Scheer. And I am his producer, Michael Bejas. Hey, listen, you can come on over to the Trim Radio Network where you can shop, you can buy merchandise. You can see that we broadcast live all over the world. And boy, would we sure love to see you in our stuff. So make sure that you come on over here to the Trim Radio Network. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us and we'll show you how simple it is. And we have all kinds of spots open. So just give us a message. Anyway, the opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And that includes any medical and health professional information that we share. We expressly deny any and all liability. We want to make sure that you do your own research and take it with a grain of salt. Anyway, folks, that song right there, well, that's Price Tag, and that's Jesse J, and that's covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And we do have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. Call in, give us your opinion, we'd love to hear it, but no cussing, no cursing, as we are a Christian-based radio station. Anyway, we want to keep it family-friendly. And without further ado, I am going to give it to the master, Stu.
Hey, Michael. Boy, I'll tell you what. It's been a crazy week. Oh, it's been a crazy week. Expensive week, too. Anyhow, guys, welcome to Money and Change / Financially Prepped, and hopefully we can help you save a little bit of money. We can let you know what's going on and how broke we are. Not necessarily me. All my debts are paid off. Well, almost. I put something on a charge card a couple days ago. It is going to be interesting to pay that off. And I got taxes coming due in July. And oh my goodness, I got to balance the budget better than the guys in Congress. Anyhow, I do. But it's been a crazy time. Well, anyhow, Michael does his disclaimer. I've got to do mine. The information contained in this presented material is from postings of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. You should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. That's my disclaimer, and I'm sticking to it. Well, hey, big shout outs to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And we do two shows a week. One is Money and Change / Financially Prep, which is Sunday night. And then My World, and it's going to be on Wednesday. My World is at 8 o'clock p.m. And, of course, Money and Change is always at 7 o'clock every Sunday. Well, it's just a big shout-out. I mean, Michael and I have been working together for quite a while, and we've been on other networks and stuff, and we do a pretty good job of it. And we enjoy working together. And that's the good thing. Everybody here on the network really enjoys what we're doing. If we didn't enjoy it, well, we wouldn't be here. The other thing is we do want to help people. And if, you know, you have some concerns as to what we say, we're telling you right off the cuff what we think and how we might do it. But you want to take a look at the financial professionals and basically find out what they're thinking, and everybody has a different thought. I don't think there are two financial professionals that think alike. I just think like an average guy. But that's why we're on Trim Radio Network. If we can help one person today, or two people, or three people, 500, 1,000, we've done our job. I don't get paid for doing the show. I don't want paid for doing the show. I'll never get paid for doing the show. I just want to help people. I've already done my bit, made my money, and I'm in retirement, and I'm trying to enjoy it. And this is part of my enjoyment. Hey, a big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. The students have graduated. They're out looking for work, or else they're going back to school in the fall to work on a master's degree. And some with master's degree might be going back to work in the fall for a doctoral degree. You can get all three of them at the University of Findlay. Great professors, great facilities, great programs. I can't speak enough about it. I've been there. I've done that. And the University of Findlay is one great place. And Dr. Kathy Fell is a fantastic administrator, fantastic staff. It's an NCAA Division II school. And they're good in basketball, football, track, wrestling. Matter of fact, they've had some national champs in wrestling. They've had a national champ in basketball several years back. They won all their games. And that's the first time I'd ever seen a team win 36 games in a row. It was a perfect season. And that's something to hang your head on. And who did they play? Oh, Ohio State University. I believe it was Xavier University and Bowling Green State University. They beat them. That's how good those guys were. And I got to see him play ball. Great school. Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. I can't say enough about Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Does an excellent job. It's Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and blanks. And the blanks are the center part of the pen. And he does the artwork and the setup, and he makes some very good inserts for pens. He makes just good pens. Michael and I both have pens from Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and blanks. Trust me, they are great when they get there. When they get here from the shop, they're fantastic. They're basically cross pens. And they're all custom. So if you're a company or your school or institution needs a custom-made pen for a presentation piece to a customer or to somebody that's going to receive an award from the school, contact Phil at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. And they're on Facebook. Check them out. Also, you want to check out Money and Change. Because, hey, we're here every Sunday. And for the most part, we're live all the time. There are only a few times that I'm not live, and that's when I'm playing a concert. And that's the way it goes. And same thing on Wednesday nights, too. I don't play concerts on Wednesdays. I reserve that for my world. And that's my world, life, laugh, and whatever. And that's, again, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. A big shout out to Brad and Chris at the Big Family Homestead. Another shout out to the Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. Good people. They're all good people. That anytime I tell you somebody's a good person, they are. Because if they weren't a good person, I wouldn't be listening or watching their shows. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. You want to get some information, economic information as to what's going on, you listen to Dave. If you're not listening to Dave, listen to me. Southern Prepper One is fantastic. I've known Dave 15 years. I've known Brad and Krista for probably 15 years. Danny Wanda King, I've corresponded with them, but they are good people. I'd love to have them as neighbors. Prepper Nurse One with Ed Carswell. He's back up in New York State, Upper New York. And he's there for the holiday, and then he's heading back down south. Then there's Canadian Prepper Nate with his doom and gloom. And he has a lot of factual information. And they're all on YouTube. And there are others on YouTube that I listen to and I watch and so forth. There's just so many sources of information out there. And to be able to do this show, I listen and watch to a lot of different shows. If you get a chance, and you might have to go to BitChute, BitChute. You want to look up Cliff, CLIF, High, HIGH. The guy is very, very, very intelligent. You really want to check him out. And there are other people that I listen to. For example, Farmer Jones. Crazy name. But the guy's down in Florida. He builds and repairs guitars. But he is really, really sharp in what's going on in the world. If you can't get Cliff, you want to listen to Farmer Jones. I wish I knew his real name. But I don't. One of these days, maybe I'll find out. You know, we posted a lot of things on the web that we just got. And one of the things that I've posted is a video. Actually, no, this is an article. Is it over? Are we screwed? And it shows a burning dollar bill. And it says, as interest rates rise, an era of deficits don't matter is over. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that. Because we're going to talk about debt ceiling today, too. Wow, they had an agreement on the debt ceiling, and the agreement was reached between the House and the Senate and the President and so forth. I mean, they will finish up the wording this weekend, and I believe they are going to vote on it next Wednesday, I believe. So we'll see what happens there. And that was posted. Earlier in the week, there was the thing about Mark of the Beast ID. You know, there was a guy down in Arkansas that was walking around or driving around, and he got pulled over by a state trooper, and the state trooper said, "You got any ID?" He said, "About what?" Well, we're not talking about what. We're talking about Mark of the Beast ID type of thing. They're trying it in Nigeria, and we'll be talking about that today. Also, have you been prepping? What happens if there's an emergency and you had 24 hours to pack up and leave? Are you prepared to do that? Do you have water? Do you have first aid? Do you have food? And the most essential thing is toilet paper. How about sanitary wipes and lotion? How about the right clothing? A lot of things to consider. Well, Reggie, better known as Demcad, I've got his video. He just moved to Georgia. Really nice guy. And he had to get rid of a lot of his stuff, especially his bottled water. I mean, he couldn't move that down to Georgia where he's at. But he had to prepare again. So if you had 24 hours to grab and go, can you do it? Can you do it with your family? If you're single, can you just up and go? Do you have money? Do you have gas for your car? Is it easy to pack? I could probably do it in a couple hours. Be packed and on the road with a full tank of gas. And probably 5 gallons of gas to spare. And still have room maybe for another 5 gallons beyond that. But that's something to consider. It really is. There was an article that came out on Zero Hedge, and they were talking about regional banks most likely to go bust. How good is your bank? How much are they overextended? You got to check into that. And by overextended, I mean, it's a fractional reserve system. They're allowed to keep 10%, but they have to loan out 90%. So now they have loans out there at 90% floating around. Something goes bad, and you have to turn around and say, well, we had maybe 20% of our loans defaulted. Can we afford to do that? Well, that's being a little bit overextended. So you have to get money to run the bank, and that's how they get it in derivatives and in hedge funds. And it's tough. It's a tough deal to make that money for the bank because they have investors in the bank. And should you keep your money in the bank all the time, or should you move it around to different banks? Should you do this, that, and the other? I'm not a professional banker or anything. I know a little bit, but not that much. It's coming from a common man type of perspective. So if you want to go out and talk to your banker, and you know him very well, you might ask him, well, how over-leveraged is the bank? That's the key word, leveraged. And if the bank is over-leveraged and it's more than, I'm just hypothetical figure now, more than 40%, I would probably say, well, I'm going to keep an evil eye on that bank to make sure they don't go any higher than that. And that's an arbitrary number for me. Some banks have been checked out that they're like 60% over leveraged. That's too far out. And some people are saying, well, eventually the federal government is going to say, we're going to reduce everything to six big banks and that's it. But what are they going to do? The FedNow coin. That's scary. That really is. And what you need to do is to watch us on Facebook. And we're on Facebook in groups, and you look up Money and Change, and we'll be there. Unless for some reason, the man shuts us down because we said a no-no, which we basically don't. I just report the news that's out there. And you can check it out. Well, hey, before we get this shindig on the road, how about the US debt clock? You can check it out on usdebtclock.org. And things in the red means we've overspent. Things in the green, hey, we're making some money. Well, the national debt is $31,812,485,000,000, and I can't even count 100,000s because it just changed. That's how quick it's going up. Federal spending is about 6,142 billion, 212 million and climbing. And the budget deficit, boy, if I could talk today, 1,475 billion, 558 million and climbing. That's the official. Well, what is it for the debt per citizen? $95,002. But for taxpayer, it's $248,041. Gang, we're in the hole and we're getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, the government's taking in $4,666 billion, 400 or 654 million dollars. So that's 4,666,654 and climbing. That revenue is about $13,948 per citizen. State debt, we're at $1,256,000,000,000 and climbing, and the debt per citizen is $3,755. And I could go on and on with all the statistics, but you take a look at it, the US National Debt Clock.org. It's important to take a look at it. Well, they did a debt ceiling deal. And that's like, oh, we're not going to spend any more than fill in the blank. Well, according to the Washington AP, the Associated Press, it said President Joe Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy have reached an agreement in principle on legislation to increase the national borrowing authority and avoid a federal default. In other words, they couldn't pay their bills. Well, negotiators are now racing to finalize the bill's text, and McCarthy, who is from California, said the House will vote on the legislation on Wednesday, giving the Senate time to consider before June 5th, the date when Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the U.S. could default on its debt obligations if lawmakers did not act in time. Well, what's in it? Well, there's a two-year debt increase spending limit. The agreement would keep non-defense spending roughly flat in 2024 fiscal year and increase its amount by 1% the following year, as well as provide for a two-year debt limit increase past the next presidential election in 2024. That's according to a source familiar with the deal. Veterans care. The agreement would fully fund medical care for veterans at the levels included in Biden's proposal in 2024 budget blueprint, including for a fund dedicated to veterans who have been exposed to toxic substances or environmental hazards. And Biden sought $20.3 billion for the Toxic Exposure Fund in his budget. Work requirements. Republicans had proposed boosting work requirements for able-bodied adults without dependents in certain government assistance programs, and they said they would bring more people into the workforce who would then pay taxes to help shore up key entitlement programs, namely Social Security and Medicare. The Democrats had roundly criticized the proposed changes, saying that it would lead to fewer people able to afford food or health care without actually increasing job participation. House Republicans had passed legislation that would create new work requirements for some on Medicaid, and some of that was left out of the final agreement. You know, personal aside here, I would think that if you're going to receive some type of Medicaid or some type of social assistance, whether it was SNAP or whatever, you ought to be able to do something to pay for your keep instead of maybe sitting on the sofa watching TV shows and eating Fritos. Just my thoughts. Well, anyhow, the agreement should expand some work requirements for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP. And the agreement would raise the age for existing work requirements from 49 to 54. Similar to the Republican proposal, but those areas would expire in 2030. How about COVID money, the unspent stuff? Well, the agreement would rescind about $30 billion in unspent coronavirus relief money that Congress approved through previous bills, with the exceptions made for veterans, Medicare, and housing assistance. Okay, that's interesting. How about Indian Health Service? Well, they're going to allow for that. And some $5 billion for a program focused on rapidly developing the next generation of COVID-19 vaccines and treatments. What you want to do for vaccines is up to you. Me, I'm staying away from it. I'm kind of in an area where I take my vitamins. I watch what I do and other habits. Speeding up energy projects. Well, the deal would put in place changes to the National Environmental Policy Act that would designate a single lead agency to develop environmental reviews in hope of streamlining the process. Well, what they left out was the Republicans had sought to repeal Biden's efforts to waive $10,000 to $20,000 in debt for nearly all borrowers who took out student loans. But the provision was a non-starter for the Democrats. Well, they're looking at free money, so why not? But how much money is that going to cost us in the long run? Well, that's the short of it, but I'll tell you what. When I look at this, we have to live in a budget. And what happens when we go beyond that budget? We get into trouble. Some of us pay off our credit cards when they're due. That's a good thing because we don't pay any interest. But there are some people that live paycheck to paycheck using credit cards and they don't pay them off and they end up getting to pay interest. And eventually it'll be interest on interest because they failed to pay off the card in the first place. And that's touchy because you keep digging yourself in a deep hole. What about Congress? They don't have a budget. And as a result of that, the American people are screwed. Your grandkids are screwed. Your great-grandkids are screwed because they're all going to be helping to pay on this huge deficit. Because Congress is like, I can't call them a drunken sailor because when a drunken sailor gets drunk, they know when to stop because they run out of money. But not Congress. They just keep getting more and more and more. They need to be put on a diet. Here's my plan. Congress agrees to a 10% cut in funding for all sections of the government except for the military. Everybody takes a 10% haircut for the next 5 years. So each year, they have to take a reduction of 10%. That would be a total reduction of 50% over 5 years. Government is too big. It's too expensive. You don't need that many people in government pushing paper, especially during an electronic era. And then what I do, I'd say to the senators and the congressmen, guess what? Term limits. That would be the next thing. And that could be voted on by the American people. The other thing is that you can't do any insider trading. That would be forbidden. And you would have to report to work every day, not just to your office, but report to the Senate and the Congress, the House, before you get a paycheck. You work every day of the week except for Saturday and Sunday. That would really turn some heads. Everybody works. Nobody plays. Nobody accepts funds from other outside sources. If you accept funds from a lobbyist, well, guess what? You just violated the rules and you're gone. New elections are held. New people are brought in. They're told exactly what the deal is. That's my plan. Until they learn to live with a budget, then we're going to be in the mess that we're in. As interest rates rise, the era of deficits don't matter, and it's over. According to Ryan McMacken of the Mises Institute, that's M-I-S-E-S, and he said, back in 2002, then Vice President Dick Cheney claimed Reagan proved deficits don't matter, and went on to push for tax cuts combined with more federal spending. Well, things are changing, however, and in the coming 5 years, we'll begin to see a new accelerating debt, a declining demand, and this is according to the report, a declining demand for dollars and rising price inflation will eventually reveal how and why deficits do matter after all. You can only spend so much. And then you got to pay the piper. So here are the feds. They're using credit cards, basically from us, and charging it all. And the bill is coming due. And when it comes due, they're going to say, well, we'll just get another credit card and put everything on it and pay a little bit on that interest. And that's not good. It's a game. And Congress needs to stop playing games. You know, people ask me one time, oh, you're playing games. No, I don't play games. I'm a very bad game player, if you know what I mean. You know, I watched some videos of people fighting in a store and then walking out with a bunch of stuff. And they're daring people to catch them. Now, whether this has actually happened or put on or whatever, I don't know. But I know one thing. I would have store security go ahead and either detain them or whatever they have to do other than shoot them to solve the problem. And that's just the way I am. I don't play games. I won't play games. If I wanted to play games, I could be a gambler. I don't know. But here's one. There was Lululemon, whatever that is, a report on Zero Hedge, fires two store employees for calling police on masked robbers. Oh, I think I would be calling the police on a robbery. And if the police didn't do anything, I would be rather upset with the police. If they wouldn't do anything with security cameras, then that's a problem. And I think I'd put a sign on every store. People who enter the store cannot wear masks. COVID is over. Take off the mask. Take off the hoodies. You do that, and the theft issue will go down, especially if there's a security guard at the front of the door. It means more expense, but it's probably worth it. Oh, in California. Oh, this is a wild one. I just saw it. Bill legalizes psychedelic mushrooms, advances in California Senate. California is going down the tubes, guys. I've had friends move out of California and they come to Ohio and they had a big house worth a couple of million in California. They come here and they buy a cheaper home. Yeah, they made out on the deal. Hey, there was one thing that popped up today and I printed it off. Nigeria to combine bank cards with national ID. Talk about control. That's not good. A bank card on an ID. And it said, this came out of Biometrics News. And Joel R. McConvey wrote it. And it said, banking and identity are converging in Nigeria, where the government has told commercial banks to start issuing debit cards that can also serve as a national ID document. As reported, the cable Nigeria, the move passed following a memo from the National Identity Management Commission, or the NIMC, giving banks permission to provide the combined banking and national identity cards. Approval from the Federal Executive Council and the partnership with the Central Bank of Nigeria, the CBN, formalized the process. Is that good or is that bad? I don't like it. Is that going to happen here in the future? Are you going to have a smart chip on your driver's license? I don't get a new driver's license for 4 years. No, 5 years. So then they would have to issue new IDs. Banks here already have your credit card and that magical chip on there. And in some cases, they have a digitized picture on the back of your credit card. But to have that on a national ID, oh, you just got pulled over for a traffic violation. Well, guess what we're going to do? Give me your card. And they put in a special reader. And they say, okay, we've just deducted $250 out of your account to pay for the fine that we're issuing you because you ran a red light and you were over the speed limit by 20 miles an hour or whatever. Think about it. Would you like something like that? Well, they're doing it in Nigeria. Are they going to do it here? I don't know. Money, cash money is still king. And if they implement the FedNow system, then we're going to be in big trouble because cash is no longer king. They're going to do it digitally. And if they don't like the way you vote, they don't like the way you're doing things, you don't have any money. And what happens if they say, well, we're taking all the money and we're putting it into a special account, and you're only going to get so much a month for food, gasoline, your utilities. If you misbehave, you get a fine of so much, and we're taking that money out of your account. Is that fair? No. Think about it. There's a lot of things to think about here, especially in the next 2, 3, 4 years. Some people are saying some really wacky stuff out there that could come true. And if it does, if you're not prepared, you are in deep trouble. Like today, I was checking my comms out. GMRS radios. I've got them all charged. This one did not charge. So I'm going to try new batteries in it. If it works, fine. If it doesn't work, these cannot be repaired. But all of my comms are checked. All of my batteries, I check all of those to make sure I'm ready for anything. Whether or not it's a tornado, because we're in the tornado season here in Ohio, or some other type of an emergency. I have several radios, and I could, in an emergency, give them to my friends and relatives to use in an emergency, and I get them back. And I'm licensed for all of them. A GMRS radio is a really good radio to have. You can get anywhere from 5 to 30 miles on them, depending on the terrain and so forth. But they're great. And I have them in case of an emergency. I have several different types. One of the best types, as I'm leaning over here, is my Woshin. It's a Chinese radio, but it's good. And I can also listen to other channels for emergency purposes. I can't transmit on them, but I can listen on them on this one little radio. So GMRS is a good investment. So you want to take a good look at that. RFK. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants to be the Democratic nomination to run for president of the United States. Just came out and said unabashedly, Bitcoin is a historic keynote delivered at the Seminole Bitcoin conference. And he said, I became a Bitcoiner when I saw what Canada did to the truckers. The people in Canada are nice people, but the government is a little bit wacky, in my opinion, and others. Well, he said in front of a standing room only crowd in the Satoshi Nakamoto Hall, the presidential contender said he saw the necessity for Bitcoin last year during the Freedom Convoy protest in Canada, where the Trudeau government invoked the Emergency Act, basically declaring martial law and began seizing the bank accounts of ordinary citizens. If the government did that here, there would be a lot of problems. And I would be ready to pack up the bags and head for the hills. And RFK said, when I witnessed this devastating use of government repression, I realized for the first time how free money is as important as free expressions. And he said, guess what? The government always has a good excuse to take away your rights. Well, that would be in Canada, and they could do it here. And RFK Jr. said, Bitcoin is a bulwark against tyranny. Could be, but it's expensive. I mean, who has $27,000 or $28,000 for one Bitcoin? I don't. Some people put their money in gold and silver. And like I've said before on all the shows that I've done in the last 8 years at least, the rule is pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Buy some long-term food. I don't care if it's canned, freeze-dried, whatever. As long as it stores good. Make sure you can store and purify water. Make sure that you have your medications. Make sure that you have the clothing for the season. I just went around today and checked my large batteries that I've got. And my solar panels are stored away. I know they work, but they're stored away. But I can plug my Geniverse units into the wall, make sure they're 100%. And they are. In an emergency, I have power. I have enough to run a CPAP machine, fans, lights. I don't have enough to run a stove or anything, but I have emergency power. I've also got that power generator that runs on propane, and it also runs on gasoline. And that's enough to power up about 3/4 of the house. Yeah, I'm getting prepared. Things could get tough, and if you're not being prepared, there's a problem. Oh, hey, we have a new listener by the name of Jerry Bodie, and Jerry has been listening to the show here last couple of weeks. I forgot to mention Jerry's name, and then I've got a cousin, which is Ben. And he's now out of college for the summer and working as a some type of a checker for a paving company. I guess he checks whatever he checks. I don't know. Another friend of mine, his son didn't graduate. He still has another year of engineering school. And he is working for a propeller company and on aeronautical engineering. And he's doing quite well. You know, the kids are graduating out of high school and they really don't know where they're going. And then they get into a trade school or they get into a small community college or regular four-year institution. And they do really well. But then they get out for the summer. There are a lot of jobs out there for people that want to work. And those people that don't want to work, well, maybe one of these days the social assistance will be reduced and they'll have to go back to work. They gave out a lot of free money during COVID, and that didn't need to happen. And some people that got the jab for COVID, it helped. Some people it didn't. It caused problems down the line. And according to Cliff High, we're going to see more of that. And that gets scary. But jobs are out there. You just have to find the right job. You may have to move. You may have to drive quite a distance. I know where I live. I know some people that drive to Cincinnati, which is over 85 miles just to get to Cincinnati. And then they go to their job, which might be another 15 or 20 miles from there. So they're driving 200 miles a day, 100 miles each way. Some people are driving to Dayton each day. Some people are driving to Columbus or Indianapolis or whatever. And I know a photographer, for example, for the Indianapolis 500, he got caught in traffic. And he said this morning he was in traffic for 2.5 hours going to Indianapolis on I-70. But they travel for their jobs. The jobs are out there. You just have to find the right one and be willing to do what the job requires. I hope everybody can find employment. Yeah, you're going to have to pay taxes, but you got to feed your family too. And that means you have to be on a budget, which is something government doesn't understand yet. You know, talk to your representative and say, hey, are you guys going to have a budget? Is it going to be balanced? Think about it. Well, there was an article that came out on Reuters, and it said U.S. bank deposits and credit slip in latest week, the data shows from the feds. So the bank deposits and credit slips. And they said deposits at all U.S. commercial banks slipped last week. Overall credit provided by banks edged lower as well. And that was according to the Federal Reserve data release. Deposits in the week ending May 10th totaled $17.10 trillion. On a non-seasonally adjusted basis, down from $17.16 trillion a week earlier. Deposits, which had dropped substantially after the collapse in March of Silicon Valley Bank, were down at large banks and little change at smaller ones. What's the interest you're paying for a car loan? What are you paying for a house loan? What are you paying on a credit card? I just cut up a credit card the other day and I sent the bank a notice. Here's the final payment on everything on this card. Please discontinue my card. I'm chopping it up. And I took my credit card out. And I just had a ball cutting it up. You know why? Because the interest on the credit card, if you are a day late, was 29.9%. And it's a big bank out west. Well, actually, they're based in North Carolina or South Carolina. And I didn't need their business anymore. If they were going to charge me 29.9% interest, and I've been a customer of theirs for 45, 50 years, and they're going to do that to me, I don't need them. I don't want them. So I cut up the card. And I sent them a notice. I made a copy for my records. And I sent it to them. And the bill and the check was attached to it. And it had to go to Houston, Texas. And so they'll get the notice in Houston. And if they still want to play games with me, I'll send it to, it's Raleigh, North Carolina, I think. Say it's one of the big banks. I'm just going to tell them, no, I'm not going to put up with your interest again. I don't need you. I pay in cash. I love to pay in cash. And if I don't have cash and I have to use credit, I pay it off by the time it's due. You know, probably in the last 10 years, I've only had two instances where I've had to make the payment split up between 2 months. And yeah, I had to pay interest. Other than that, I pay it off when it's due, period. It might get tight once in a while, but I pay it off. I don't want to pay the interest. And you should think that way too. Don't be like some of the people out there that just say, oh, I'll just put on my credit card. I had a college roommate that did that one time. He had 7 credit cards. They were all maxed out. His wife was going nuts. So they went to a credit counselor and they went ahead and consolidated the cards and only paid on that one. And they destroyed the other credit cards. Only to find out that his mom gave him a secret credit card to use on any toys that he wanted. That's not a good thing to get into. Trust me, guys. Trust me. Hey, did you know that Master Lock is going to close their Milwaukee factory and outsource 400 American jobs? It looks like they're going to go to Mexico. It said Master Lock, in the United States-based padlock manufacturer, is reportedly set to close its factory in Milwaukee, Wisconsin next year, with plans to outsource over 400 American employees' jobs. Officials with United Auto Workers, UAW, who represent many of Master Lock's employees, said Master Lock executives have informed employees that the Milwaukee plant will shutter by the end of March next year, and that their jobs will be outsourced to other existing North American plants. Americans at the Milwaukee plant produce parts for locks that are then sent to a plant in Mexico where the locks are assembled. And they said, we are disgusted yet again as other profitable corporations have decided to close their doors of a manufacturing icon in corporate America. And the company informed workers that their jobs would be outsourced beginning this fall, 102 years after the company was founded in Milwaukee. And the company's looking for basically the bottom line, the profit. And one way to look at it is the more you have unions, the more problems you're going to have, and they will outsource to other locations. That's why I like to see businesses in the United States stay here. It only helps the country. By outsourcing to other countries, it's not good. Look what happened when we outsourced things to China. China went ahead and copied how things were made, and they could make it cheaper because they don't pay people enough. And in some cases, the quality is good or better than what's made here. But if it wasn't for the United States sending things over to China, that wouldn't have happened. And a friend of mine that his family owned a big propeller corporation that made all kinds of fans and so forth, and airplane propellers especially, the federal government wanted them to outsource to China. And they put a plant in China. And I think they got rid of the plant in China. They didn't want to pass the technology over to them. And I don't blame them. But all this is going on. So like I said before, you got to pay down your debt. Put some money aside. I mean, find a way to save it. If you're going to go out and you're going to spend some money for food, live beneath your means. Because some people will say, we will take a full pound of hamburger and divide it up four ways and freeze three sections and keep one. We'll put that into soups or stews or whatever is flavoring, but we won't eat the whole thing. And they do that with two people. They're living beneath their means so they can save money, so they can pay down their debt or buy additional food for emergencies. So like I've said, pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term foods. And I don't care if you get it from Emergency Essentials or the LDS Church or whatever. They have sources for canned goods. I don't care if you get it at Aldi's or even the dollar store, because they have some stuff too that's fairly good. I don't care. Just stock up and be very attentive to what you're paying for your food, because food's getting expensive. It's going to be even more expensive. Check things out on Zero Hedge. Check things out on Twitter. Please. Above all, what you need to do is check us out on Money Change Lives Financially Prepared on Facebook. Because when we find it out, we will pass that on to you and make sure that we have posts there. And I want to tell you something. We will do that. And do I trust everything that's posted? No, I trust it with a grain of salt. And I ask you to do your due diligence when you're looking for things on the web as far as finance or saving money or buying food, how to economize on things. It's there for you to learn. And if you can learn and not get duped into financial problems, that's fantastic. And you know how to tell if a politician is lying? At least most of them, it's when they open their mouth. I can guarantee that. And Michael's laughing, but that's true. That's true. I've known some politicians. Matter of fact, Michael, you know, I had to kind of work with politicians, and it was not fun, because they would take my budget, and because they wanted a porta potty in southeastern Ohio, it cost my budget $50,000.
I just thought it was common sense that anytime a politician opens his mouth, and, you know, 0 to 50% is truth, you know.
Have you ever heard of Jeff Dunham?
Oh, yes. I've seen him three times.
What's that dummy of the old guy that he has?
Walter.
Walter. He dressed up Walter like Joe Biden.
Well, Walter is
complete,
like,
complete with sunglasses.
Well, he is a puppet, and, well, he's a dummy.
Boo. Well, you're right. Well, anyhow, guys, that's all I've got. It's time for me to scoot. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Remember the guys that sacrificed their lives so we could have what we have, okay? And that's the important thing. Always give thanks for the soldiers and sailors, the Marines and Coast Guarders, Guardies, as they call them, because they helped keep us free. And with that, Michael, that's all I've got. We'll see everybody next week.
No, you'll see them on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, but for money and change. Yes. Yeah, we'll see them Wednesday.
All right, folks, listen. I hope that you have a very, very wonderful and blessed week. Don't forget, give God thanks. You know, for without him, we would have nothing. So, you know, in today's crazy world, just remember, it's a spiritual warfare. So be prepared. Put on your full armor. Anyway, with that, we're out of here. God bless. Take care. And you know what, folks? Adios. Thank you for tuning in to the Trim Radio Network. Goodbye.
See ya.